Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. I don't know where Josh is. He'll be here eventually, I would guess. Will Summers is here. We'll hit another Will's Week in Review in a bit after an unbelievable debut from the MLB correspondent of Mr. Relevant, Will Summers. He will join us a little bit later. I think we're doing the Masters this week, though, Will, right? We're not doing baseball?
Yeah, Masters review.
Okay, can't wait for that as Rory wins his first green jacket. Hunter Vaughn, Tiny Hands, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Our final episode of the week, or at least our final live episode of the week. And then next week, it's all draft week, baby. Don't forget, download the all-new, brand-new ESPN Wisconsin app available in your app store. If you have a Google phone or an Android phone, you might need to look up Wisconsin On Demand still, but the interface, all brand new. You can enter to win an NFL draft experience on the brand new, all new ESPN Wisconsin app. Just scroll to the bottom and click contests. If you are watching on the video stream, you see a special guest behind me. We have a cutout of Bango the Buck joining us in the studio because it is Bucks playoff time presented by BMO. You can get in the action with our dear friend and share all the postseason action. You can visit the website, bucks.com/playoffs. It's bucks.com/playoffs for information on upcoming community events, the freshest gear from the Bucks Pro Shop, and more. Bucks playoffs presented by BMO, bucks.com/playoffs. We've got game times, which we will get to in what we learned for the first four games of that series between the Bucks and the Pacers. Okay, I want to talk a ton about the draft because when we are with you next time live, it will be Monday afternoon. I will be in Green Bay. Joshie will be in Milwaukee. Hunter will be in Madison. We've got you covered in the state, and we will hit all things draft next week. Special guests, special events, all sorts of things coming up on Mr. Irrelevant next week. But I kind of want to hone in where my brain is before I go to Green Bay next week. So I want to talk a ton of draft today before we get to Will, before we get to One Word Wednesday, and before we wrap up the show. Joshie, you're very late. What's up, dude?
I just didn't have some water. Had to go grab that. I'm a little disheveled. Had to do the last half hour Wildy and Tausch with the Milwaukee Brewers currently playing baseball. So my schedule's a little off. I was a little behind, but I'm here. I'm ready to work.
All right. I'm glad you're here and ready to work. I want to dive into top 30 visits a little bit deeper because it's something I've brought up quite a bit the last few weeks, right, is the idea of the top 30 visits. So NFL teams get 30 visits they can use with prospects leading up to the NFL draft. And that essentially is they fly the prospect to Green Bay in the Packers case or whatever city the team is from. You fly them out to the facility, you bring them in, you interview them, you spend the day with them essentially. And you get to know them a little bit better. Some is extra research, doing your due diligence. Is there legal trouble? Is there character issues that you have concerns about?
Injuries,
right. You can look into all of these things more in depth when you do a top 30 visit and see if there's, you know, legitimate concern or if it's just, you know, if it's just dust in the wind and nothing to worry about. So the Packers, as of today, 8 days from the start of the NFL draft, have used 24 of these visits already. 5 on a receiver, 6 on offensive linemen, 5 on edge rushers, 3 on defensive tackles, 4 on cornerbacks, and 1 on a quarterback from a school I've never heard of, by the way.
It's because I believe it is a Canadian college.
Given the spelling, it does have some French tendencies. Uh-huh. Wilfred Laurier. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. His name is Taylor Elgersma. Don't think the Packers are going to draft him. Would that consider as an international player prospect if they're from Canada?
I think it would.
I think it would, too.
Yeah, I think that would count.
Because if you're not familiar, every team gets one IPP designation, international player prospect. The Packers used it last year on their kicker, Alex Hale, who was in the competition during the preseason, you may remember. A couple of years ago, they used it on a linebacker who's no longer with the team from somewhere in Africa. I mean, so it's a cool thing, the NFL, a cool initiative that's rather new to the NFL. Apparently Canadians might count. Joshie, I imagine we'll look into that. But 24 of the 30 visits have been used.
Yes. Just looked it up. No, Canadians are not considered international players, according to the Google AI overview.
So what? I love how we cite that now. Right, so
like you have to because it gets it wrong. Sometimes.
It gets it wrong sometimes, yeah. Right? As we always say, the internet, you know, it's full of truths, right? And nobody has ever lied on the internet. But I just find it interesting that that's how Google now transports a quick answer, and it's not always right. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay, I looked up the same thing, and it was confusing the way. But no, Canadians do not typically count as qualifying. That's interesting.
That is,
because I mean, it's not North American football. Like, it's they are international. They are playing a different style.
Yeah, but after the U.S., Canada is the next most, like, football is the most popular there after the U.S.
They do have a league there.
So
they do have a league there. It's called the Canadian Football League. Yeah.
Yeah, so like I would get why the NFL is like, yeah, you guys don't really count for this.
Will, would you play baseball in Canada?
Yeah, there's actually a pretty prominent like Canadian summer collegiate league that a lot of guys I know played in. They loved it up there.
Where, like major cities or smaller cities?
Smaller cities, like in the country. I couldn't tell you specifically. I don't want to sound stupid because I don't know.
You already do.
Yeah. Was it? What is the one in Wisconsin? The Northwoods?
Northwoods League. Yeah. Northwoods, so Green Bay as a team, Eau Claire as a team, the Lakeshore Chinooks, which I think are what, Will? What city is that?
Mequon.
In Mequon.
They're Northwood?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Madison, the Mallards are in that league as well. Wisconsin Rapids has a team. Wausau has a team. So yeah, a bunch of teams in the Northwoods League in Wisconsin. Do you know I was supposed to, have I ever told you I was supposed to intern for the Northwoods League front office?
No.
Summer of 2020. Yeah, I was supposed to live in Rochester, Minnesota, and then ultimately the season got canceled. So there you go. I don't know what's in Rochester, Minnesota, except I know there's a really big hospital there. But other than that.
Yeah, very large, very good hospital in Rochester. I've been to Rochester, not much else. They have a really good burger place called Newt's. Great burger and cheese curds there.
It's funny
there.
You say that. Because when I made that announcement, I was like 21, and as a douchey 21-year-old, you know, you put out, if anybody has a suggestion for IPAs or bacon cheeseburgers, let me know. I remember I wrote this in my Facebook post announcing I was moving to Rochester that summer.
Bacon cheeseburgers specifically?
I love bacon cheeseburgers, yeah. It's like one of my favorite foods. Need bacon on it, though. Double meat, baby. Yeah, so, but Newt's was a suggestion from somebody that I went to college with that was from Rochester. So it's funny you say that. All right, anyway, so top 30 visits, as we were discussing, and I got distracted. The Packers seem to be being a little bit more intentional at the top of the draft this year, right? Like, I think I might have mentioned this on Monday to you, Joshy. It seems like in past years, the Packers usually only visit with like 4 first-round picks, maybe 5. In their top 30. And then it's a bunch of guys they end up drafting in middle rounds, right? Like Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks were both top 30 visits. There's a huge list. Offensive linemen, defensive players, second round picks, right? Like Edrin Cooper was a visit last year. Tyron Hopper was a visit last year. So they typically do, okay, we're going to look at some of the guys at the top who, if they fall to our pick, this year being 23, we'll visit with them. You know, we'll check out with them. It seems like they have visited with a potential of about 8 first-round picks this year. Now, that's counting the 2 cornerbacks who are projected to be high second or late first-round picks in Siobhan Revel Jr. out of East Carolina and Trey Amos from Ole Miss, both viewed as early second, maybe late first-round picks. And then you've got a bunch of others, right? Edge rusher, Shamar Stewart, Mykel Williams, James Pierce Jr. all looked at as top picks, first day one picks. Defensive tackle Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss. Visited with the Packers. Josh Simmons from Ohio State, the offensive lineman. And then you've got 3 receivers that are likely first-round picks. Tet McMillan out of Arizona, Matthew Golden out of Texas, and Emeka Buka out of Ohio State. All top 30 visits this year with the Packers. Now, under Brian Gutekunst, if all 8 of those guys are to go in the first round, that will be the most first-round picks he has used top 30 visits on in a single year. So it seems like Goody really emphasizing either A, that pick number 23, and he has a ton of options, and he likes a lot of those guys, or B, who's going to slip? What are we finding out? And maybe they'll be available late second round when the Packers pick for a second time on Friday. But more than ever, Joshy, Goody using these top 30 visits for guys that are going to go day one or early day two.
Yeah, I think what that's really telling us is after the top of the draft in the first 4 or 5 picks, there's a lot of guys they view sort of as the same exact value. They're looking at guys who they think might be there because every single person is probably going to rank them differently. So there's going to be, I would imagine at some point, one of those maybe even two of those like eight names you named are going to be there at pick 23. Do the Packers end up actually taking them? Who knows? They might have somebody that they didn't even have in for a visit that they met at the Senior Bowl that they view like way highly, be it like a Mike Green from Marshall. I think we can take really two big takeaways. It's that there's not really a consensus on who's going to go where and where they may fall. And it's two, the Packers view the two most needy positions they have on their team as the wide receiver and edge rusher. Simmons, we've talked about the offensive tackle from Ohio State. That was a misdiagnosed injury at first and then sort of working through the healing process.
Yep.
So I think that's sort of figuring out like just what is it, how is he, when's he going to be able to play, more so than we're really thinking about taking offensive tackle in the first round. I think the cornerbacks are, what if we trade back, or what if they're there in the second round, if you look at those guys, because they really haven't had the top names in at the cornerback position like they have with wide receiver. They've
had edge, right?
They've had pretty much every single first round pick short of Luther Burden,
yeah,
who I don't think they're interested in solely because he is best as playing Jaden Reed.
So is Matthew Golden, though.
No, Matthew Golden functions a lot better outside. Okay. He does play in the slot, but he is capable of playing outside.
Gotcha.
He is not...
Is Reed is capable, but better in the slot.
The Packers don't think he's capable.
Okay.
Jaden Reed basically played no snaps last year from two wide receiver sets. He only came on the field in three wide receiver sets.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, I believe it's like he played maybe like less than 10% of the total two wide receiver snaps.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize
Could
that.
He evolve and grow into that eventually?
Sure.
Sure.
Are you confident in that?
No.
Doesn't sound like you
are. Doesn't seem like his coaches are either with the way they're playing him. So they're looking for a true standalone like X receiver.
I think Alex, great first name, by the way, makes a interesting point on the ESPN Milwaukee chat. Like, this is the draft a player drops into the Packers' lap. And it might be.
You might think so.
There's been examples of that in the past. I think Ha Ha Clinton Dix is probably the most recent one in the first round where it's like a super highly valued prospect where you think it's probably a top 12, top 15 pick, and then all of a sudden he's there in the mid-20s. Clinton Dix is the most recent example that pops into my mind. Because when they got Gary, that was a top 15 pick. So I don't know if you really necessarily count that as slipping. Am I missing anybody, Josh, off the top of my head?
I think
Jordan Love, maybe?
Yes. I think Eddie Lacy was also one of those where teams viewed him as a late first round pick guy. And then he was available to the Packers in the second. And they kind of said, well, we're not really super searching for a running back, but we'll take one here because we like this guy's ability.
And another fun comment here from the complicated fellow who says, maybe the scouting department is changing the process. They have so many failed first round picks, paying more attention to the top possibilities this year. That could be a play too. I don't know that that's a franchise and that's a building that often changes their philosophies.
Yeah.
And the way they approach things. I'm not going to rule it out. I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't asked anybody that, but it's certainly...
You would have to sort of believe that the Packers are kind of flippant with who they take in the first round, which I don't.
Sure.
I think they do the utmost homework on every single player that they're even considering. Like, they have their board written out. They have guys crossed off who are probably first round picks that they said, this guy is not for us. We don't view him here. And then the guys that they've even, like, they've been scouting these guys for 3 years, 4 years, some of them. So they have information and personal life information that you would be astounded to learn they knew. They know ex-girlfriends. They know what they like to do after game days. They know every single thing about these players by the time it gets to the point of we're taking them in the draft.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. So I have come up with a list, and Joshy's our resident draft expert. I'm looking forward to getting in the weeds with him a little bit next week during our daily coverage live from Green Bay. I have put together a list of guys I think are realistic options in the first round. Most of them have taken a top 30 visit. Not all of them, but most of them have taken a top 30 visit with the Packers. So let's dive into my list. If the Packers are to pick at 23, here's who I think are realistic options. Let's start with the wide receiver position. I've got two guys here. Number one, I don't think he's going to fall to 23. If he does, I would be shocked if Goody didn't snap him up. That, of course, is Tet McMillan out of Arizona. Viewed as likely the top wide receiver prospect in this draft. He could go anywhere from, it seems, pick 8 And in some mock drafts, which again, I don't think is super realistic, but you never know what happens in the NFL draft. He goes all the way to 23 to the Packers.
I think he's very much a realistic option. I think the visit matters. I think Goody being the only GM at his private workout he held matters. They also then went to, I believe, Arizona's pro day. I think they do like a regional one down there where it's like a few schools put together. But him being in is your biggest signal. The other thing I have to say about Ted is he is that true X receiver, which they are now missing without Christian Watson, a guy who's going to be the wide receiver one. I think what they're telling us by having him in is the internet community around the draft values Ted more than the NFL values Ted. I've seen a
that
lot.
That could be the case.
I've seen... I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah, who's always really plugged in with what NFL thinks. I believe they had him as a late first-round pick, like in the late 20s. I've seen him even fall to the second in some people. So I don't think there's a consensus on him that I do think it's a realistic option that he be there. It's just who falls in love with who, and anyone that could be literally anyone. I mean, we've seen... the Raiders draft guys that everyone was like, I thought that was a third round pick, and they're like pick 14. What is it? Cleveland Farrell is one of those names that comes to mind from Clemson, where you just want to know if this guy's there. Is this the guy we think is going to help our offense? I think he's an option.
I think the other wide receiver is the one everybody has rumored the Packers to since the season ended. And that, of course, is Ohio State's Emeka Buka, two-time 1,100-yard receiver at Ohio State, obviously a reigning national champion. Has the X qualities Joshie was just alluding to, not quite to the level of Tet McMillan, but a guy that would fit this Packers offense and hopefully make an immediate impact. But this is a guy I think every show on our station Joshie has spent time on, especially the day he took his visit with the Packers. This one seems very realistic at 23. Emeka Buka, the other receiver on my list.
I think he's an option. I think he's more of a, if he falls into the second, than a first-round option for the Packers. He functioned a lot out of the slot, but he does have the ability to play the Z, which would be what we would consider like the Dontavian Wicks, yep, Romeo Doubs replacement. I think you have to do a little projecting with him. His NFL prospects aren't as clear as someone like Tet McMillan's is. Tet McMillan's an X and everyone knows it.
And he looks like, who would be his comp from last year? Like a Brian Thomas?
No, I would put him sort of on the JSN side of things.
A couple years ago, yeah.
Where you can play him outside. It seems his best is as a slot receiver. But he's... I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be like a full-fledged top five wide receiver in the NFL. That's how good I believe he is. I don't see that for a Buka. It's sort of a guy you have to get a little creative with, but he can... he has the ability to function as a wide receiver one if you need him to.
I have told you I am, at one point this offseason, I've tapered back a little bit. I was really convinced the Packers were going to run it back at offensive line.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I still believe there's a potential. I have as many offensive linemen on this list as I do wide receivers. Two offensive linemen on my list. Josh Simmons, who of course they took the top 30 visit with, as we just talked about a bit ago. The injury concerns are part of that, but coming from Ohio State, really, really good offensive linemen. The tackle rumors are continuing to swirl in the rumor mill when it comes to some of the insiders that are plugged in on the draft. It is certainly realistic the Packers could go offensive line despite going there last year, signing Aaron Banks in the offseason, and feeling like they have their top five, but Zach Tom and... you know, he's approaching, obviously, the contract year. I imagine they lock him up. Rashid Walker approaching a contract year. Don't know if they are to keep him. Jordan Morgan might end up winning that job. I would just not be shocked if Josh Simmons is an option at 23. The other offensive lineman I'll bring up, who could definitely be a guy that falls out of the first round, is a guy by the name of Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State University. He is viewed as one of the top, offensive linemen in this draft. He's versatile, can play multiple positions, good size, good feet, good hands. I would not be shocked if this is the guy where everybody goes, really, that's the first round pick? Because Goody is not a subscriber to ESPN Plus, right? He's not reading what Mel Kiper thinks. He is basing it off what he feels is the best option. And this seems like a guy where if you look at what he's been able to accomplish at North Dakota State and then in his pro day and some of the other
You're missing two big factors here when you talk about Zabel. They are to support your point. He has played all five positions along the offensive line. We know the Packers love those guys to be interchangeable. He probably profiles as guard center in the NFL, but he has the ability and has played before, which is a big plus if you look at how the Packers view the offensive line and what they want.
So he reminds me of both the Duke offensive linemen that were in the draft last year. The obviously, the Packers landed one of them, Jacob Monk. The other, of course, Graham Barton, who I thought was very realistic for the Packers in the first round last year. He's a guy that's played everywhere, and that's what makes him, what makes me go, whoa. Very Packers-esque. Those are my offensive prospects.
His RAS relative athletic score was also in the 9.9s. So,
oh, I didn't realize it was 9.9. I knew it was in the 9.
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't believe he ran a 40, but he ran an extremely good short shuttle and three cone, which we've witnessed you do on this program. He ran it in
bringing that up. Yeah.
7.66, I believe, was his time.
Let's go to the defense. I'm fascinated by all four of these names. Let's start with the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, Walter Nolan. Formerly the number one prospect in the country when he entered college at Texas A&M. Terrific size, terrific athleticism, and is a name that keeps shooting up the board. He is viewed now as a bona fide lock in the first round, but not necessarily a top 15 pick. The Packers, and I've said this throughout the last couple of weeks, Kenny Clark ain't going to be a Packer forever. The fifth-year option on Devontae Wyatt has not yet been picked up. They have until June 1st to make that decision. Otherwise, he is entering his final year under contract. T.J. Slayton is now an Indianapolis Colt. Carl Brooks is fine, but mid-round pick. Probably not a guy you want to start. Walter Nolan is a name that really intrigues me, and defensive tackle, frankly, is a position that intrigues me in the first round for the Packers. Now, hosting him yesterday on his first round or in their top 30 visit, I think Walter Nolan is incredibly, incredibly realistic. By the way, something I love about Walter Nolan, he told CBS Sports last week. Josh, did you see this quote?
No.
And I quote, this is a direct quote. Quote, "I'm the next Aaron Donald," end quote. One of the best, if not the best, defensive tackle of all time.
He did have 6.5 sacks in college last year in college, and his pass rush skills do seem to be those of a guy who could build into an elite pass rusher, which I feel like from the defensive tackle position is not something we've seen a really long time in Green Bay. That's certainly not Kenny Clark's game. Kenny Clark has had sacks, but in terms of a penetrating, disruptive defensive tackle, I can't even, like, Mike Daniels was really the last one I could even say had that sort of, like, really makes a difference and upsets the backfield.
I mean, it wasn't Jarrell Worthy, I'll tell you that much.
Sure was not. Michigan State, great.
Excuse me, I misquoted him. Quote, "I'm the next Aaron Donald, man," end quote. That was the full sentence.
Yeah, I would tab on the name Derek Harmon, too, if you're looking at defensive tackle. Agreed. That from Oregon. Less of a pass rusher, though.
Yeah, not a guy they use the top 30 on, but certainly a name that also intriguing at that position. That's the only defensive tackle I have on the list. I do have defensive ends, though. Edge rushers, two of them. Mykel Williams and James Pierce Jr., both names we've mentioned before, both names the Packers have been in on, have had top 30 visits with, have looked into them, have been rumored with them for months. I don't know which one is more intriguing to me, Joshy, because Mykel Williams comes from the school that Brian Gutekunst loves in the first round in Georgia. James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, probably more likely to be there at 23 than Mykel Williams, although you never know how these things shake out. If Edge is the option, if Shamar Stewart's off the board, which I think he will be at 23, these are the next two best names, Mykel Williams and James Pierce Jr.
I wouldn't be so certain Shamar Stewart is off the board at that point. His ranking has been all over the board. Obviously, we all saw the athleticism. We also saw the incredible lack of production. I would pump the brakes on James Pierce if I were you. I think that was a character concern deep dive. He certainly seems to fit what the Packers would want and is an option. But if you read into the stuff that's being written, and it's the anonymous sources, as we all know about this time, I think that one might have been a little more due diligence and get this guy in front of us than it was a guy we're really considering.
I'll get back to that. The main reason I put him here, 9.35.
Yeah, his athleticism. Yes, yes. I think, yeah, I think.
Goody drools over stuff
like that. They saw those numbers and they said, we should see what's really going on between the ears for this guy.
I want to get through this list, and I want to get back to some of the character concerns because I just had a conversation. I have one name left on the list, and that's cornerback. And it is a name that the Packers have done a ton of research on. Haven't been tied to as much, but they have done a ton of work on him, including a top 30 visit. And that is Trey Amos of Ole Miss. Now, that is a guy who could certainly fall to the second round. He's not viewed as the top corner in this draft. He's not even viewed as like the top three corners in this draft. But the Packers have done more research than any other team on Trey Amos. He is a name that, if Goody is to reach in the first round, quote-unquote reach, you never really know what that means, especially at pick 23. This is a guy where I think you could go, who? Athleticism's really solid. It's not in the nines in terms of an RAS score, but still good athleticism, good size, 6 feet, 195, ran a 4.440. It's got good speed, good explosiveness. It just kind of feels like a Packers pick. Now, again, I'm not saying this is necessarily a 23 pick. If the Packers are to trade back to maybe that 29, 30, 31 spot, I think it's a little bit more realistic. But I'm not trying to predict Goody necessarily. I just think these are the eight guys that make the most sense. So again, just to recap the list real fast. Two wide receivers, Tet McMillan of Arizona, Mecca Buka of Ohio State. Two offensive linemen, Josh Simmons of Ohio State, Gray Zabel of North Dakota State. One defensive tackle, that's Walter Nolan of Ole Miss. Two edge rushers, Mykal Williams of Georgia, James Pierce Jr. of Tennessee, and a cornerback of Ole Miss, Trey Amos. Those are my eight players that I think make a ton of sense for the Packers at pick 23 with 8 days until the NFL draft. Any thoughts on Trey Amos, Joshy?
I mean, there's positive reviews of him. I do think he is more of a second round pick, and I think that is the scenario you mentioned. I don't think he's a preferred option. I think if they end up in a trade back situation, that is where they would take him. I don't think they view him or view corner as big of a need as they do the other two positions that I spent a lot of time on at wide receiver and edge. But he certainly fits their thresholds board. And I mean, you said he's not a nine, he's an 8.88 in terms of relative athletic score. Well within the range of guys they're interested in.
For sure.
Because, yes, that is the 88th percentile of all cornerbacks in terms of athleticism. And does, like, really the big thing with the cornerback position is, like, the height and weight stuff. That is one thing they spend a lot of time on. And they seem to shy away from really anybody who doesn't meet those numbers.
Okay, so you mentioned some character concerns. And, like, when the anonymous source stuff starts coming up around draft time. I was recently, I forgot who I was talking to this about, talking about my favorite moment from this, when a draft day and a dude slid down the board. Do you have any idea what I'm about to refer to?
No.
The 2016 NFL draft, there was this really good offensive tackle from Ole Miss by the name of Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, yes, the bong mask.
The bong mask. So the bong, there's a video or a picture of him that leaks on draft day.
Yes.
Smoking marijuana out of a gas mask.
I believe we found out posts, and I'm going to throw an allegedly on this, that it was his father that released the photo.
I don't know.
And that it was intentionally to try and harm his draft stock.
Okay, that's
because
wild.
They were feuding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Tunsil ultimately dropped. I mean, he was viewed as like a top five, top three pick.
Yes.
Entering the draft. He slid all the way to pick 13 to the Miami Dolphins.
And everyone was going, this is not a concern. Why are they letting him slide?
But then let's remember, a year later, 2017, the Miami Dolphins fired their offensive line coach,
yep,
who was recording himself in the facility snorting cocaine and sending videos to women.
I believe that woman was she a dancer or was she an escort?
I believe it was the latter, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah. But that's just such an unbelievable story that we go from this dude's a bona fide stud, and he has turned into that, right? He was traded this offseason, as we may remember, to the Washington Commanders from Houston. And he goes to a team that was just in the NFC Championship game, hopes to elevate their offensive line. His draft stock slid because he was smoking weed. Mm-hmm. And then literally his second season in the league, his coach got fired for sniffing the powder.
Yep.
and sending videos to an alleged escort. So, amazing story.
Just a little bit of a cleanup. It was, according to the Palm Beach Post, Tunsil's, they believe, his former financial advisor was the one that leaked it.
Not quite his father, but...
No.
It's still somebody close to
him. Yes.
And yeah, so it was concerns about money, if I remember, was the big thing, because there was some dispute or change of who was the... Right when the kid was about to make money, they decided to have a falling out, which is... You see what caused that.
There's the character issue stuff can get so weird. Is like, I remember the Cowboys when they got Lael Collins.
Dez.
Dez fell because of him, but then Lael Collins went undrafted because of them. Uh-huh. And he was just brought in for questioning because he was friends with someone that was suspected of murder. And then teams were like, yes, we're not touching him. And he went undrafted because of it and was supposed to be like a top 10 pick. Like, it's crazy. This next week, there could all of a sudden be a guy that happens to. And it feels like it happens almost every year.
It sure does. And yeah.
What ends up happening in those cases is stuff and news comes out too late, and teams don't feel like they have the time or resources to fully look into it to get a good view of it. Because, I mean, they look past, the NFL is extremely good at this, look at real big past character concerns. And a lot of times it's, is the court case settled yet, and will there be further court cases? And that seems to be really the only thing they're concerned about.
Hey, good for Chris Forster, by the way, the coach I was referencing. Cleaned up his act. He's now the assistant coach in San Francisco, so good for him.
Yeah, I don't love talking about that story because I believe the fallout with his family was quite dark.
Yeah, I believe it was as well.
Yeah.
But just
don't record yourself. Yeah. Really doing anything.
That's the lesson here, ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
I've seen like too many three code sex drills. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a good take.
I mean, it's ironic that we're saying this as we're being recorded now, but you know, unless you're being paid to do it, don't do it.
Even if you're being paid to do it, in some cases, don't do it. But
probably a lot of cases. That's your decision.
Probably a lot of cases, actually. Good point by Hunter. So, we talked about the top 30 visits. The Packers have used 24 of them, as I mentioned, with 8 days to go until the first round of the NFL draft. They've used 5 of them on wide receivers, 3 of which will likely go in the first round. It is... And look, I've referenced former President George W. Bush 800 times the last few weeks, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, can't get fooled again. We've fallen for this Packers drafting a wide receiver in the first round trick time and time again, especially the last decade. When the Packers are on the precipice, right? They're in the NFC Championship game, and they really only need one weapon to bring them over the edge. It felt like, okay, that's the year. We're going to go get Aaron Rodgers a weapon, and this will be the year they get back to the Super Bowl. Nope, they draft a quarterback. Or nope, they draft somebody on defense. And now with Jordan Love, as he's coming up and still a young quarterback in the NFL in terms of how much he's actually played, now entering year 3 as a starter, feels like, okay, he's got these young pieces around him. We'll see how they do. And Jaden Reed, yeah, he's shown flashes. And Dontavian Wicks has shown he's got great route running ability. And Christian Watson is a great deep threat. And Romeo Doubs, reliable target. And these tight ends are going to be good, but nobody has really taken that step, right, into the number one, into superstardom for the Green Bay Packers. So when last year they lead the league in drops and some mistakes, and now Christian Watson tears his ACL at the end of last year, it starts to feel like, again, hey, this is the year, right? You don't really have a bona fide number one. Go sign Devontae or trade for DK Metcalf. They don't do either of them. It finally feels like this is the year the Packers go, okay, we can get a talented receiver who can make an immediate impact, who can evolve into our number one receiver, and we can get him on a rookie deal. They're doing the due diligence that tells you they're interested. Tet McMillan from Arizona. Brian Gutekunst, the only general manager at his private pro day. Emeka Ibuka, 2-day visit for the top 30. Matthew Golden from Texas, a high receiver in this year's draft. Top 30 visit. Isaiah Bond, a guy in the second round from Texas also. Top 30 visit. It feels like this is the year the Packers have done more research on top-end receivers than they have any other year under general manager Brian Gutekunst. So while, yes, it is very possible they go edge or they go defensive tackle or they go offensive line in the first round, it feels like this year more than any other that we've gotten our hopes up for a first-round wide receiver, this is the year it could realistically happen.
Yeah, I think the years in the past... do you know the difference if I were to say like signal versus noise?
Yeah.
If something is actually a meaningful signal or if it's just noise. The noise in past years have been people thinking the Packers need a wide receiver and therefore giving them one in their mock drafts and spending time talking about the Packers taking one. This year is way different. The signals are way different. I mean, the Packers were rumored in the DK Metcalf stuff. They've denied being involved with that. I think it's probably a little bit of both where they kicked the tires. And then they ended up not doing that. The Davante Adams thing was us wish casting. That I would consider noise. But having all these top guys in, I think is means a lot more than people are willing to let themselves believe because they don't want to be hurt by getting excited about drafting a wide receiver in the first round and it not happening. That doesn't mean they aren't going to draft a wide receiver on day two. I would be willing to put a lot of money on the Packers drafting in the first three picks a wide receiver.
Oh, totally agree. Oh, I'd one up you.
Yeah,
top two.
Yeah.
Top two.
To that, I'm entirely convinced of happening. I do think it's a reality, and I do think the big thing we can take away is the experiment of wide receiver one by committee. Goody's admitting it failed, and the guys he has really aren't there yet, and he's not going to wait around for them to produce. It seems pretty clear what the needs are, and it seems pretty clear the type of guys they're having in and what they want them to play as. And they want that X receiver to be sort of the dominant guy that's going to stay on the field all the time. They aren't going to have to make, you know, special play calls. They aren't going to have to run screens. It's a guy that just gets open, stays open, and makes big plays. That is clearly what they view as a big miss and a big issue with their offensive attack right now. I think it's 50-50 edge or wide receiver. I'm down to really not even spending much time looking elsewhere other than maybe a defensive tackle. I'll sprinkle that in. I pretty much ruled out cornerback and offensive tackle. I think they are in between the two.
Tend to agree on corner, actually.
I think they are in between the two, and they are just... The board has to fall the way the board has to fall. It's unlikely the Packers trade up more than 2, 3, 4 picks if there's a guy they love and they view him as a true like star-level player. They could do that. They've done it with Jordan Love. Trade a third-round pick to go up 3 picks. Like I could see something like that happening. But the guy has to be there for you to take him. They wanted to draft Brandon Ayuk. They tried to, and San Francisco jumped them after they traded up. So this idea that they're totally unwilling to draft first-round wide receivers, I think, is inaccurate. They were just really good at drafting second-round wide receivers for a long time, which makes it go away because Davante Adams, if you were to do a redraft, he's a top-5 pick in that draft.
What year was that, 2014?
Whatever it was, like, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Unless there's 4 other or 5 other Hall of Famers in that draft, like, you didn't use a first-round pick on him, but you got first-round talent. I don't think when you have those guys, a Jordy, a Greg Jennings, a Davante Adams, you don't view those as priorities. And what's changed now is... They don't have anybody who looks to be like any of those guys.
I don't know if he's a top-5 pick.
Read him off.
Jadeveon Clowney was the number 1 overall pick.
He's not.
Khalil Mack at number 5.
He is.
Aaron Donald at number 13.
He is.
Zach Martin, the offensive guard for Dallas?
No. Guard Hall of Famer. Incredibly good.
Second best guard of all time, though, Josh. Like.
What's that?
He said second best guard of all time.
Yeah, I understand that. I just don't think teams value guard that way. I just said he's a Hall of Famer, so he's extremely good.
Did I say Mike Evans or not?
You did not.
He was number seven.
He's not above Devontae.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not. Devontae in the second round. I'm just trying to look. Jarvis Landry's in the second round. Obviously, he's above him. DeMarcus Lawrence, also of the Cowboys in that draft. Joel Bitonio to the Browns.
This was a good draft class for the Cowboys.
Really good draft.
Yeah.
For the Cowboys especially.
Yeah, you guys nailed it.
Anthony Barr of the Vikings was in there. Jake Matthews of the Falcons.
Yeah. No, it's Devontae. Yeah, he's top five.
Top five. Yeah. I'll give you that. Ha Clinton Dix was the Packers pick, by the way.
Yeah.
In that draft.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's the second time Ha Clinton Dix has been brought up on the show.
Also an all pro at
Correct.
One point.
Yeah.
And then
Correct.
No longer in the NFL very shortly after that all pro.
What year do you think he was last on an active roster?
What's your guess? I would say he bounced around for two more years post-Packers.
He was traded to the Washington team,
yeah.
We'll leave unnamed, in 2018.
Yeah.
Spent 2018 with Washington.
Yeah.
And then?
I have no idea.
Went to the Bears for 2019. Then he spent 2020 on the practice squad or offseason with the Cowboys. Same thing with the Niners. And then in 2021, he spent at least one game with the Raiders. And then 21 offseason, he was with the Broncos. And then since then, he has been the director of player development with Alabama.
Good for him.
Did not know that. Very interesting. Okay, there you have it. Okay. The moment we've all been waiting for. So for those of you unaware, our friend, oh my God, he just put on a golf hat. For those of you that are unaware, our young friend, Will Summers, approaching college graduation, has been a young star with us here at ESPN Milwaukee since his internship last year. 2 weeks ago, Josh took a day off, so I said, hey, Will, why don't you crack the mic? Why don't you join me for the show today? Will said to me on that show, he interrupted me while I was talking about football, and said, Strof, can I be the MLB reporter for Mr. Irrelevant? I said, Will, never call yourself a reporter again. You are too big of a clown to be considered a reporter. He then went on to say, okay, I want to be the correspondent. So I said, okay, we'll give you a tryout next week. Last Wednesday, a week ago today, Will delivered an unbelievable Chris Berman-esque, pardon my take-esque, style of a Brewers recap against the Cincinnati Reds over the right shoulder of Josh DiMaggio. He stood right over him. He made comments like, am I in a slump? Randy Jackson Churia said, that's a no from me, dog. Brewers won 3 of 4 over the Reds. Just like Ricky Bobby, they chewed up Big Red. You know, stuff like that. Very funny lines that got us laughing. Will then had the idea, and here he is in his golf hat and his golf polo in his own room this time. He's graduated.
His own microphone.
His own microphone. Has said he wants to give us a recap on the Masters, in which Rory McIlroy finally gets the ever so elusive green jacket over the weekend. Will Summers, it is now your time to shine. This is the second ever edition of Will's Week in Review.
All right, guys, I think we got to start with Wednesday's Par 3 competition, where Masters rookie Nico Echeverria beat out J.J. Spahn in a playoff. But the interesting thing about this is that the two players were tied at 22 strokes after regulation, which was 55 less than the 77 that Nico gave J.J. back in February. Instead of using a porta potty, 21-year-old amateur Jose Luis Ballester made headlines during Thursday's round for taking a relief shot into the infamous Rays Creek. When asked about the situation, Ballester referenced the 1972 Steely Dan hit single and said he would do it again. Now getting into the real thick of the action. Scotty, Chef Leonard Skinner, came into the tournament flying high, free bird, yeah, after winning last year's Masters. But after putting up 5 sweet home alabogies in round 2, it was clear that this bird can, in fact, change, as Scotty would finish in 4th place overall after Sunday. Justin Rose was the leader after the first 2 rounds, but we all know that every rose has its thorn, as he was mostly living on a par during round 3 and dropped into a tie for 6th place. While it was looking grim for Justin, he never said goodbye, and despite not Bon Jovi eagling any holes, he would still put together 10 birdies on Sunday to make things interesting. Bryson DeChambeau Brian Griffin was tied for 6th place after day 1, but showed that he had that dog in him on day 2, as he fetched a couple birdies and finished 1 shot behind Justin Rose.
A Family Guy reference.
He would hold the 2nd place spot going into Sunday, but a couple tough holes led to him being referred to as Bryson DeChambeau by Skip Bayless and resulted in a fifth-place finish. After missing a short putt for the win on the 18th hole, it looked like Rory G. Biv McIlroy was going to have his Masters parade rained on. But ultimately, the rain cleared, and Rory found the gold at the end of the rainbow as he would birdie the playoff hole to look like someone who went to Denny's on the morning of St. Patrick's Day as he completed the Grand Slam and put on his green jacket after doing so. With your Mr. Irrelevant Masters recap, I'm Will Summers.
Nice golf clap for that performance.
Yep, agree.
Thank you.
Rory G. Biv McIlroy was solid. The Family Guy reference, didn't see that one coming.
I liked the singing edition.
Yeah, the Lynyrd Skynyrd was good. Who sings every rose?
Is that Seal?
I think that's Seal.
It's Bon Jovi.
No, Seal is Kiss from a Rose. And Every Rose Has Its Thorn is Brett Michaels.
Bon Jovi.
Poison.
I don't think that's Bon Jovi, brother.
Yeah, it's not Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it's Poison. I'm almost positive.
No, Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer.
I did say Living on a Par, so I was close.
I didn't even catch that. Well done. Here's the thing with these. He makes so many references so quickly.
Yeah, you lose them.
I lose them. Now, you said to me yesterday, one will go directly over my head. Do you know which one you were referring to?
It might have been the first one.
Which was?
That Nico Echevarria and JJ Spahn were tied after 22 strokes, which was 55 less than the 77 that Nico gave JJ back in February.
So that is a Texans, no, February. Nico JJ.
That is a Dallas Mavericks, Nico Harrison trading a 77, Luka Doncic to JJ Redick.
NBA guy, Alex Stroff.
He went deep.
That's good.
NBA guy.
Now, in my defense, I don't think anybody else on this panel understood that.
Josh did.
You're the only one here who claims to be an NBA guy.
Exactly.
That's also fair.
Once again, you're crumbling in front of us.
No, I mean, I'm impressed by that. But also, in my defense, when's the last time I said I was good at math?
When you said you could name the populations in order?
That's not a math.
That is inherently
problem.
Math.
Is it?
Yeah, numbers. Counting people, numbers, memorizing.
All right. Very good, Will. Where'd you get that hat?
I've had it in my arsenal for a couple of years now.
Your arsenal?
Yeah.
What other times do you use that hat?
Yeah. When is the arsenal utilized?
Whenever I feel like it. I wear it pretty often, actually.
No, that's a lie.
I
wear it to go golfing a good amount.
Really?
Yeah. It's fun.
Are you a good golfer?
See, that's why I wear the hat, because it gives the impression that I don't care. I really do care.
I can say this. I know I've golfed with many of college baseball players.
They're usually rough.
They can hit the ball a mile when they hit it well. It's just everything up until that point is going to be ugly, and they'll miss a lot.
Yeah, the baseball swing does not translate well to golf at all.
Hard to get rid of that baseball swing, especially if you're doing it for, you know,
most of your life.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, there's another edition of Will's Week in Review in the books. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday's version. When I am live in Green Bay, we are one day away from the draft. Get creative. I don't know if it's an NBA playoffs. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we'll get some draft, NBA. Maybe we'll do a four major sports.
I mean, yeah, he's going to have to... what we need is the...
We hold till Friday, right?
Yeah, but the Monday after the draft, we have to do... He has to go over every pick.
Every one of them?
No, the Packers picks.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
definitely. Now, the issue is... We'll figure this out off the air. Mondays are rough for you, is my understanding.
Yeah, I could probably pre-record it or something.
That's fine.
Send it in.
Yeah, that works. Okay. All right, good stuff.
You have to do it on video, though, just so you know.
The outfit is a big part of this.
Yeah, that's true.
Which... 2 weeks in a row, 10 out of 10 on the outfit scale.
Thank you.
Impressed with you. You're doing a great job, Will.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, it's Wednesday. It's time now for One Word Wednesday. Hunter has a list of topics. He throws them at Joshy and I. Well, Josh sometimes plays. Sometimes he just holds out. And Josh, bless you in advance.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Hunter's going to throw us topics. We're going to try to respond in one word. Sometimes it'll be a little bit more. That's how you play One Word Wednesday. Yep. Let's boogie, baby.
All right. Let's do a little bit of NBA playoff preview. We'll start in the West. the 4-seed Nuggets taking on the 5-seed Clippers.
Jokic. It's going to be the Nuggets. This is despite how appealing some of these matchups are. I don't know that this one is even close to the most appealing.
No, the only intrigue here is how did they look in the playoffs without their head coach?
Correct.
Coach. HC. That's my one word.
Acronym.
The 2-seed Rockets take on the 7-seed Warriors.
Now we're talking, and here's a word that's banned, sexy. This matchup rocks because the Rockets have 12 dudes who are ready to grind. The Rockets are a team to watch this postseason. The Warriors, on the other hand.
The 2-seed's a team to watch?
Yeah, but they're young and not a lot of people know about them, right?
Way to go out on a limb.
Sengun, for example. Sengun, a lot of people that are maybe casual basketball fans, unlike me, don't know a ton about Alperen Sengun's game, right? And
is it pronounced Sengun?
Yes. The Warriors, obviously sexy brand, right? They've won a million championships. Everybody knows Steph Curry. After that, though, it's Steph Curry, it's Jimmy Butler. They don't have a third scorer. Draymond's a good passer offensively. He's a good rebounder, good defender. But they don't have a third scoring option. So the Warriors will lose this series, in my opinion. But this is a sexy matchup. I'm really intrigued by this one after the Warriors win last night.
The only word you need is Jimmy. Does Jimmy in
playoff
State
Jimmy
become playoff Jimmy?
Become Jimmy?
Take over games. There you go. That's a good one too. Yeah, it's does he affect games we've seen him the way we've seen him do? Does he still have that in the bag after taking the Heat way further than any of us ever expected?
And then finally in the West, since we don't know who the 1-seed Thunder will be playing, the 3-seed Lakers and the 6-seed Timberwolves.
Another really fun one. I don't have a good word for this. You got one?
It's Doncic.
I think superstars is probably the word, right? LeBron, Luka, Anthony Edwards. It's got the appeal of a really fun series. The Lakers are playing super well, though. And the Timberwolves a little bit underwhelming after a terrific year last year, obviously, that landed them in the 1-seed. I think the Lakers win the series, but this could be one of few first-round series that goes 7. So I'll say superstars, my word here.
Moving on to the East, the 2-seed Celtics and the 7-seed Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic.
Whoa. I knew he was going to sing.
What?
I said I knew you were going to sing.
I had to.
It was predictable.
I had to.
I don't know if I could name a single Orlando Magic.
Sure you could. Yes, you could.
Yes, you can.
Paolo Banchero.
There you go.
That's all I got. I'm tapped.
Okay. Franz Wagner.
Is Cole Wagner Anthony still there?
Yes.
Wow.
Look at you. You're on fire.
26 points off the bench last night.
I'm a Magic head.
Jonathan Isaac's still there?
Oh, I thought he was seeking life with the, he's a church guy, pastor.
Haley Van Lith's boyfriend is there?
That could...
Great.
That could mean anything.
They've been together for a long time.
Okay.
Do you know who her boyfriend is?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Jalen sucks.
Good for them.
She just got drafted the other night, WNBA. Celtics is the word. This isn't a series.
Boston is 14.5 point favorites for game one. So far, the only double-digit favorites. In any of the playoff series. The 3-seed Knicks and the 6-seed Pistons.
Sneaky. It's a sneaky series. Pistons are a fun team this year. Now, I like the Knicks, but they still don't have Brunson back. So that's why I think this could be a sneaky Pistons series.
Didn't he come back late or did he went out again?
I might be wrong on this, Joshy.
NBA guy, Alex Stroh.
The last two games.
So I figured out what we need to do is just talk enough NBA for him to expose himself as a fraud.
Yep.
I thought he wasn't back yet.
No.
Well, he's totally back. I mean, he is. I'm staring at him.
Didn't
back.
He have probably like a really good game in one of the two he played?
I feel like I would have seen that.
obviously so not.
He played four games. He scored 27 points twice. So
wow.
Yes. That he had a 27-10 game, a second game back. Overtime loss to the Celtics.
Couldn't be more back.
Yeah, that is. There are a few people more back in the NBA.
I still think the Pistons are sneaky. I stand by that.
Sure.
Can okay. you name a Piston other than Cade Cunningham?
Ooh. Are one of the Thompson brothers there?
Which Thompson brothers? There's now two pairs of them.
Oh no.
Because are we referring to like the Tristan Thompson? We're referring to the young ones that were drafted
the young
three
ones.
Years ago. Yes, one of them is still there,
and
I believe.
It's
but I don't think he plays. Oh no, I don't think he's there. I lied. Oh yes, he is. Asor is there. Asor is there.
Yeah, that I'm pretty much out. Is the guy who likes to get in fights, is he on that team still, Stewart?
That was specific.
Isaiah Stewart, is that his name?
Yeah, he's still there.
Hey!
Jaden Ivey?
Okay.
Malik familiar. Beasley, former Buck?
Familiar.
Four seed Indiana Pacers, five seed Milwaukee Bucks. Pacers 5.5-point favorites for game one.
I've got six words for you.
This is one word, like, but great.
Yeah, why are we even doing this segment anymore?
One, two, Bucks three, six. Four, five, six.
You could have just said six.
I wanted to do the dramatic build-up there, Josh.
Not that dramatic.
Yeah. Or you just do
predictable
the Bucks
build up,
in
maybe
six.
Might be a better
you could have
word.
Just said three words and then gone Bucks in six. There's way better
to
ways
I could
to do
count
this.
To six.
Yeah.
Wanted
yeah.
to prove I could count to six.
It's, I think you're the worst person at this segment.
That's why we have this yes. segment, Josh. Did you miss the point of the segment? I suck at it. That's why it's a segment.
Why? Should we evaluate why you suck so bad at it?
I don't have a vocabulary like you. I also don't get a heads up on the topics. We did that once, and we were like, yeah, it kind of ruined the luster.
I'm going to say Dame. Not playing. Bucks need to get past this without him. We still don't know his status. A first-round exit would be devastating.
Enjoy greatness, Bucks. By the way. Giannis is on a tear. Enjoy it.
Sure.
No matter the result, enjoy the greatness.
Your word could have been enjoy.
It's true. We're changing music. What's happening?
Oh, we're done with NBA. Have some college football, so had to change the music up. The University of Colorado announced that number two and number 12 are being retired this Saturday for Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders already. By the way, they went 13-12 in their two seasons in Colorado.
The word is nepotism. I have no problem with Travis Hunter's jersey being retired. Absolutely zero problem with it. He won the Heisman Trophy. No problem with
it. It is unconventional. My word is dumb. It's unconventional to do it before they even get drafted into the NFL.
Yeah, you should do this for a game, and there's no reason Shedeur Sanders
Bring
should be
back.
Getting his jersey retired.
No.
0%
nope.
reason.
Nope.
He's probably like the fifth best quarterback in that university's history.
Here is what everyone should do if they agree or think that these numbers both should be retired. Go look into the former Colorado players and what they have to say about those two numbers being retired.
I haven't done that. Thoughts?
They're not happy.
Of course not.
Because not only do they not have that much success to ride on, there are guys far more deserving yep. who have not been. Cordell Stewart, Philip Lindsay, like.
So Cordell Stewart's the big yes. reason, you know. So fun
I believe
fact,
there's
yeah.
also, if we look at David Bakhtiari, there's a cornerback from that.
Real quick, can I raise my hand on something?
Yes.
I recorded an 8-minute podcast on this yesterday and forgot to post it.
You did the Great. The quickie.
I did a quickie and forgot to post it. I had a busy day yesterday.
You did it on this of all time.
on nepotism, yes, because this one really bothered me.
If only you had a producer like, that could help you out and like
no,
help you with
thing,
those
Hunter,
things.
I had the email drafted to you with the file, and then I never pressed send. That's what happened. So I was actually really irritated about the commentary around Travis Hunter. I don't think he deserves the shots he's taking. Like, this is not his fault at all. And to be real frank, If you win a National Player of the Year award in basketball, or if you win a Heisman Trophy, I think it should be a rule to have your jersey retired. It is the hardest feat in maybe sports, to be real honest with you, because there are so many more players that are that have the potential to win this award, right? There's what, 200 teams in college football? Or 130 teams? Like, whatever it is. It is the most sought after award in sports.
Yeah, right? Teams like Alabama would be running out of numbers.
That's fair, but I think like a school for Colorado, a school like Wisconsin, right? 33 is retired, and obviously there's other reasons to the greatness of Ron Dayne. But Travis Hunter was an unbelievable college football player, and he is one of the most intriguing draft prospects in modern history. He won a Heisman Trophy by playing both positions. That's unheard of. So I'm fine with him getting his jersey retired. The only reason Shedeur Sanders is getting his jersey retired is because his dad is the coach.
To keep daddy happy.
And it's just dumb.
Try and keep around as long as... famous Colorado player that wore number 2 is Dion Figures. He was a cornerback. He won the national championship in 1990, which for Colorado seems like basically... the most wild idea ever. Obviously, that program was
they made
good
a 30 for
time.
30 about that team because it was such a like crazy thing.
Yeah, he won the Jim Thorpe. He won the Jack Tatum. He was a consensus All-American, Big 8 Defensive Player of the Year, first-round pick, six-year NFL career in College Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And his number is not retired in Colorado. But Shedeur Sanders is a shoo-in, an automatic for them.
So dumb.
Tim Tebow's number isn't even retired at Florida, and he has two national championships and a Heisman.
Yeah, it's schools like that, to Josh's point, on Alabama, right? And Tebow's number should absolutely be retired. Yeah, Graham Mertz just wore it, by the way. He just wore 15
That
Florida.
Would disrespect.
Anthony Richardson also
They should just
wore
put both names by number 15.
Okay. Richardson, Mertz, Tebow.
We're done with one word because of that comment from Hunter. He's
nope, I got two more. I've got two more. Wisconsin native and the current head football coach at Kansas, Lance Leipold, has become a minority owner of the Beloit Skycarp.
Oh. Neat.
The one thing I think of is...
money.
I don't know if Taylor Swift's song is one word, but coulda, woulda, shoulda. Every time I hear Lance Leipold's name, I wish he was the Wisconsin Badgers head coach.
Good point. Good take by you. Wow.
Well, I mean, if things don't go well.
You're good at this game.
If things don't go well, he still could be.
That's also totally fair, because Wisconsin would be an upgrade from Kansas. So, still an option.
And then one last one. Had to switch up the music one more time, because Baylor basketball has had their entire roster enter the transfer portal, and they need to remake their entire roster.
Sad. I mean, it's just sad. Like, I hate this state of college hoops. College sports, really. It's free agency every year. It's so dumb. But Wisconsin had to go through a pretty similar thing last year. I mean, they had a couple guys back, but they had, what, 8 or 9 guys enter the portal last year? So, that sucks.
When I hear,
I hate it.
When I hear transfer portal in any college hoops team, I just think Marquette. What's going on there? What are they doing?
Speaking of changing philosophies.
Absolutely not.
Gotta do that. Yeah. All right. There you go. That's One Word Wednesday with you on this Wednesday. Just a reminder, no show Friday, no live show Friday. As I've got the day off, Hunter's got the day off, as we prepare for what next week looks like. We are with you 5 days next week, Monday through Friday, live from Green Bay, just outside of Lambeau Field, 12 to 2 p.m., 2 hour shows every day. Special guests, special events, special time in my hometown of Green Bay. So really looking forward to our draft coverage and everything we'll have going on next week. It is time now for What We Learned. You learned something new today, or excuse me. Whoa! Let's try that one again. You learn something new every day. We learned something new today. It is time now for What We Learned here on Mr. Irrelevant. We've got the game times for the first 4 games of Bucks-Pacers. Game 4, which is Sunday the 27th at Fiserv Forum, is scheduled for an 8:30 tip, which is 9:30 Eastern. I'm not even old, and I'm not happy about this. I sent an email this morning, like, that's Brad Nortman's bedtime, 8:30 p.m. I will be at a wedding that day, so that's fine for me. Like, I'll probably still be wedding-ing it up. But, don't love an 8:30 Sunday night tip. Saturday Night Football doesn't even start that late. It just seems silly to me. But all in all, Friday night of the draft weekend and Sunday night are your two home games for the Bucks in games 3 and 4. But now we have some game times following the play-in games last night. A couple more play-in games tonight. The play-in rocks, by the way. I love the NBA play-in. This is a great add to the sport. Prevents tanking. I love it. More NBA guy takes. All right, who real quick, anybody else? What we learned? What do you got? Will Summers is calling for the ball, folks.
Oh, boy.
I got a quick one. I learned that firing your coach 2 weeks before the playoffs, or the play-in, probably not smart. The Grizzlies obviously fired their coach two weeks ago. 5 seconds left, down by 3. Coach draws up an inbound play, can't even get it in. 5-second call, game over. Steph Curry ices it with the free throws.
Taylor Jenkins fired by the Memphis Grizzlies. It worked out okay, though, for Denver, it seemingly. I mean,
So far,
but their series hasn't started yet.
I've got an additionally quick one, and I don't know the accuracy of it, but it's interesting at
least
to debate.
That's always a good start.
Great.
There's a man named Griffin McShane. He shared a picture of a Bitcoin wallet holding $162 million.
Uh-oh.
And it says, every year when paying taxes, I get to check in on my Bitcoin wallet from 2015 that I no longer have access to.
So, my dad had a friend when he was still working in Wisconsin in like 2011 or something. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, I got Bitcoin. He lost his login. And he had like multiple full Bitcoins, and he never retrieved them.
Yes. That is a story that happens a lot because it can get lost in the digital ether. Like,
you lose your password, you don't know what email you used, you don't know what wallet you used. I mean, there's a ton of ways to do that.
I don't know how I would be able to go on knowing I had $162 million that I just could not do anything with. It would consume the entirety of my life.
It's almost like these banks and credit unions have something figured out with multiple ways of being able to access your money and being in a safe and insured format. But, you know,
so
what am I thinking?
The takeaway I'm having right now is that Hunter, not a crypto guy.
No.
I think it's dumb as hell.
I think it's even more insidious than that. I think it's a pump and dump scheme to affect losers.
Well, I gotta be honest. Didn't expect the show to go down a financial rabbit hole.
No, I have no input. I put $5 into Bitcoin a couple years ago.
Oh, of course,
took it
you
out
did.
For $3.30. So I'm down overall.
Wait,
lost almost half my investment.
You put $5 in, and you said, I think $3.30 is more valuable to me than
just losing the $5.
I mean, I was like 16. I probably needed the $3 for something.
Can you,
at the time.
Can gotta you make a T-Bell run with that.
A stick of bubble gum?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Can you even buy crypto at 16?
Apparently. I did it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to really
again,
stop?
Again, another reason why crypto's dumb.
I thought you had to be 18. All right, Hunter, I hear you. Okay.
Real quick, because we haven't talked about it, Con Knipple announced today that he is entering the NBA draft, which is surprising no one, but shout out Wisconsin Lutheran
top
legend.
Top 10 pick, right?
Yeah.
Pretty
top
confirmed
10,
on that.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. He is by far the best. Maybe not by far, because Jalen Johnson was pretty damn good. But the best Wisconsin high school player I've ever seen up close.
Yes. Jalen Johnson was good. But
he didn't.
Like,
I don't think he had the basketball IQ Con did in high school.
No, and he didn't also perform to the level Con did once he left high school.
True.
Yeah.
He's covered a good NBA career for himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, in terms of high school strictly, Con in the state of Wisconsin, I think he's the best I've seen up close and personal. Oh, that whole family.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. That does it for us. We're back with you Monday live from just outside of Lambeau Field. 8 days away from draft week. 8 days away from draft day, rather. Hold on, real quick. Before we go for the week, I just said draft day.
Mm-hmm.
The movie with Kevin Costner.
Great movie. Yeah.
I watch it. Okay, that's what I'm about to ask.
Hate it.
I love it.
Of
Hunter
course,
loves
Josh
it.
Hates
Joshy
it.
Hates it. Will?
I like it.
What's
What's the name with the post-it note? Where he
Vontae
puts it in
Mack,
pocket?
No matter what.
Vontae Mack.
Vontae Mack, no matter
Vontae
what.
Mack, no matter what, yeah. I will be watching that movie between now and Monday. I watch it every year before draft week.
Can we do a Monday movie review on it just to annoy Josh?
Actually, I kind of love that idea. Also, I'm telling you what we're leading the show with Monday. Maybe not leading the show with. We're probably going to set the scene. But in the 12 o'clock hour on Monday, I am going to bring I'm going to do some homework. Like 10 or 15 Packers and their draft player comp. And we're going to see how they did.
I want to everyone to know, I'm going to put this out there. If there is a draft day review that happens, I will kick back, put my AirPods on, and not listen to it.
Why are you such a party pooper?
We will all find out what happens together. Thanks to Will. Thanks to Hunter. Thanks to Josh. I'm Alex Strofe. Thank you for hanging with us. Reminder to download the brand new, all new ESPN Wisconsin app where you can get us live beginning at noon every day next week across ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll talk to you then. Peace.